doing the whole 6010.
Hello and welcome into the CSS DFS podcast for week 18. Today's show is presented by Geico. Search Geico, see all the ways that you could save. Daniel, Mike, Al Zeidenfeld here for the week 18 DFS lineup.
I can't believe we are here in week 18.
Al, it is really good to see your face. We did not see you for the season long show, but I always love being able to see that salt and pepper, buddy. It's nice to see you.
I'm out here, man. What can I do? I'm getting old. I've earned every single one of these gray hairs along the way.
Hey, you know what? That happens. Just in case this is the only podcast you are listening to today, please go back and listen to everything that we talked about in the season-long show. We started out, it was a tough show and been a tough week to figure out how we want to do everything with what's happened to DeMar Hamlin and what's been going on in the NFL. And so we just ask you to listen to that just so that you don't think that we're not talking about it here. But go ahead and check that out. Mm-hmm. And today we are going to make, hopefully, you guys some good lineups for our week 18 DFS lineups. Last week was a tough week. Holy cow. Last week was a tough week.
That was a weird one.
Yeah. Shout out to 1215 Bull, who came out with 220.88 points 1 hour DFS tournament. Shout out to them. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mike, you are up on me 12-5 in the season standing. So, you know, another dub. Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't feel great about this one. It was just, I slipped by in some, you know, big turnover on defense and some good, you know, special teams play and just snuck it out. So
that's all you can do sometimes.
It's been a good season, but we still have four to go this year, right?
Yeah, we do.
Four rounds of playoffs, so we're far from done with this DFS show.
All right, let's dive into the quarterback position then, as we always do first. And Mike, we're going to start with you at Kirk Cousins, $6,500, taking on the Chicago Bears. Why do you like Kirk Cousins in cash?
Yeah, so I think every player we talk about today, we have to say like yes, no, or maybe, which is, are they definitely going to play the whole game, or they could they rest based on certain scenarios? You know, is their seed locked in? There's things like that we have to consider. For example, we won't be talking about any Giants, right? Because we fully expect them to rest a lot of the time. So we'll get into that as we go through these guys. But we do expect the Minnesota Vikings to be heavily motivated to win this game against a Chicago team that will not have Justin Fields. The Vikings have seeding implications. So we expect them to be all out here. He's QB8 in pricing this week at 6,500. Cousins is. Dud against the Packers last week. Obviously, Justin Jefferson was locked down and things did not go well. But remember, he had at least 24 fantasy points in his prior three games. He was playing very well. This will be a much easier matchup. The Bears, over the last 8 and 4 weeks, have allowed the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've also allowed a 21-plus point game in 8 of their games this season. That includes Kirk Cousins back in week 5, had 22 points in that game, almost 300 yards. Just missed the 300-yard bonus, 3 yards short. Had 2 touchdowns in that game.
That's the worst.
And look, Cousins, he doesn't add a lot of value with his legs. He did earlier in his career, but near the top in every passing category. Top 5 in attempts, completions, yards, and has 28 passing touchdowns. That is 6th. So just, again, you know what you're going to get from him. Has good skill, guys. Justin Jefferson needs, of course, where is it here? You know what? I'll talk about it shortly. He needs a lot of yards to get to the single-season receiving yardage record. They're going to be motivated to get that in a good matchup here. So we'll get to Jefferson shortly, but for now, Cousins a good option.
And like you said, Vikings have a ton to play for, so we expect them to be highly competitive through this entire game. Al, I was watching your stream this week, smizzle.tv/links, in case anyone wants to also watch it. And I noticed you got a little fast and loose with your quarterback as you went with Russell Wilson, who in 2 out of the last 3 games has hit 25 or more fantasy points on DraftKings. Mm-hmm. And he's $5,400 this week. This is a major dart throw, but it's a cheap dart throw.
So, one, I'm sorry. Two, I'm getting a little frisky here because it's week 18. And we're going to have a lot of players, as Mike alluded to, that are going to not play half the game. We're going to be dealing with guys making their first start like Howell, as opposed to Russ Wilson, who wants to end the season on a high note, coming off of a week where he had his lowest ADOT of the season at 4.1 last week. Now he plays against the Los Angeles Chargers, who have allowed the third highest opponent average depth of target this year at 8.5. So there's a little added upside. As you mentioned, 25 plus DraftKings points per game in 2 of the last 3, has accounted for 3 touchdowns. 2 of the last 3 games. Now, granted, both of those games are against Kansas City. This is a game that should be one that they can move the football. And if they are able to do that, Russ Wilson is super cheap and allows you an ability to get somewhere that other people can't through his very cheap options in the passing game.
Yeah.
He's been a lot better since he switched from Let's Ride to Go Broncos.
Yes, he has.
So that could be it. I mean, that could be the
Go Broncos narrative. Yes.
At first I was trying to adjust my computer set when I was like, did Al just say Russell Wilson? And then in fact, that is actually what happened. But there's a lot of reasons. And Mike, honestly, to this point, right? Al, when you're talking about tournament lineups, you're talking potentially about being contrarian, finding something that's a little bit different. Like Russell Wilson can save you a ton of money. And we've watched him put up some fantasy points here. However, in cash lineups, it would be tough for me to feel like I can trust Russell Wilson after the season that I've seen. Maybe you just have more fortitude than I do.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Yeah, but a lot of people are thinking like you, which is from a tournament perspective, that no way I could trust this guy. And that's maybe your chance to pounce, because if he comes through, there you go.
That's how you're controlling.
Not that it's the same exact thing, but last week, the 220 score that was put up to win the Focus League, I can guarantee you that was a Tom Brady double stack with a DJ Moore bring back, and I haven't even seen the lineup, because that's what won every tournament last
Yeah. Yep. I hear you there.
And you couldn't trust Tom Brady either.
That's a good call. Yeah.
All right. This week, a couple of the quarterbacks that we like. Jalen Hurts is $8,200, assuming that he is healthy and plays this week, Mike. We like him.
He probably will, and the Giants will have a lot of backups on the field. And the Eagles are going to come out firing. They're going to score a whole bunch of touchdowns early. You would imagine he might not play this whole game because he might not have to. But Hurts, yes, off the injury, he might be a little nervous. I'd fire him up.
Fire him up. Joe Burrow, $7,300, taking on Baltimore, as since he has a lot to play for as well. And Geno Smith, $6,000. The Seahawks need to be able to beat the Rams. So you know that they are going to be going all in as well. We like Geno this week too. From the running back perspective, do we ever go away from Christian McCaffrey in cash games, Mike Clay?
Nope. This is going to be a theme. There's two guys I want to lock in because I like their situations this week. And one of them is Christian McCaffrey. I have him projected for 7.5 more fantasy points than any other running back in our projections this week. That is a huge gap. It's probably the highest that we have had this season. At least 28.5 DraftKings points in 4 of his last 5. As a touchdown in all 5 of those games, averaging 23 touches and 138 yards per game. They have unlocked him recently, and he's just all out, back to feature back duties here in this offense. He's faced the Cardinals twice this season, the rare 3 times in 1 regular season matchup, because he did it when he was with Carolina as well. Had 100 or more yards in both, 25.8 fantasy points in one, 17.6 in the other, and didn't play massive roles because he didn't need to in those games. But he's obviously been good this year, good against them, a lot of volume. And the Cardinals, by the way, an exceptional matchup. The most fantasy points allowed to running backs over the last 2 months. They've allowed 19 touchdowns to running backs. That is 3rd most. And check this out. This is the receiving line for running backs against them this season.
Okay.
97 catches, 750 yards, and 5 touchdowns. They're top 4 in all 3 of those categories. Christian McCaffrey, I am told, really good in the passing game.
Yes.
About a 22% target share since he's joined the 49ers. Set up for a great game. 9,300 is a big number. Can he get to 30 points though in this game? Absolutely.
Yeah. Love Christian McCaffrey. It seems like every week you love Christian McCaffrey, and it's tough. What else are you going to say other than all those amazing stats that you have?
Such a high floor, high ceiling. Love it.
One of the things with CMC, I will just say, he's one of those players that I feel like I always am finding a way. I start to try to find a lineup with CMC in it, and then I sort of like figure out how do the values work out. That often changes as you get closer to Sunday, as you have more values that approach themselves. So if you're having a hard time finding a way to get CMC in your lineup now, in spite of you liking him, just remember that as you get closer to the Saturday and Sunday slate, it often gets a little easier as you have more updates with players being out. Al, you got Zach Moss because the Texans. Is that correct? Okay.
That's it. End of analysis.
All right. Well, the couple of running backs.
That's it. That's really all you need to know.
No, that's basically what I said on the first podcast. The same thing. Yeah. It doesn't feel great. You know, it's not like the best player, best situation, but the Texans.
The Texans.
I mean, look, it doesn't feel great, but it doesn't feel great because he only had 15 attempts and 12 attempts the last 2 games. But those were games where he got throttled, not him. But, you know, the Colts got throttled against the Giants and against the Chargers. This is a completely different situation. The last time they were in a close and competitive game when Zach Moss had the full reins of the running back job was against Minnesota, where he had 25 opportunities in that game, a 3-point loss. A couple of weeks ago, I could see him getting that same amount of opportunity and volume against a team that has allowed the most running back touches per game against in Houston and has allowed opposing running backs to run the ball for over 5 yards per carry. And he's got exactly 5 carries in the first quarter for the last 3 weeks. So they are seriously trying to establish the run for the Indianapolis Colts. And if you try to establish the run against Houston, they're just going to let you. So like at 5,200, it seems like he is going to be a candidate with all that opportunity and the matchup, the challenge for the 100-yard bonus and maybe sneak into the end zone.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Honestly, and at $5,200, you're trying to pay down at some place. You know, you someone mm-hmm. getting as much volume as Zach Moss is getting, you could certainly go, or you certainly could use him from that perspective. All right. A couple other running backs that we really like. Najee Harris, still only $6,100, at least 22 touches in all three games during Pittsburgh's current win streak. And he scored in three of the last four.
And that's a team that needs a win. They have a shot still at the playoffs.
Yep. Cam Akers, $6,200, taking on Seattle. The Rams are not playing for anything other than spoiler, but Cam Akers has come on towards the end of the season and just looked fantastic. Uh-huh. Miles Sanders, $5,900 against the Giants. Tyler Allgeier, $5,600. He has looked great as well, playing Tampa Bay. Leonard Fournette at $5,500 against
Atlanta. That's one we could probably cross off. I'm going to reduce the Bucs in the projections. They are now underdogs to Atlanta. I guess they probably have been, but looks like they're going to be rested for part of this game. So Bucs skill guys probably going to avoid them.
Fading those guys. All right. And then Latavius Murray, potentially $5,400 taking on the Chargers.
Good matchup.
Again, another good matchup for where he's being used. All right. Wide receivers, you had talked about Justin Jefferson. Now is the time. Is this kid going to break Calvin Johnson single season receiving yards record?
He may. And I have McCaffrey at 9,300. I'm fitting in Justin Jefferson at 9,100. I'm going to get them both in there this week. Again, had the dud last week. He was shadowed by Jair Alexander. There's a lot of smack talk all week. The Packers were very motivated to keep him in check, and they did a great job with it, but I expect a bounce back. And his prior three games to that had at least 33 fantasy points in all of them.
Oh, that's good.
28 plus DraftKings points in 9 of 16 games. It's more than half. And he needs 193 yards to break Johnson's record. And you might think, that's a huge number. No way. He's done it twice this season, and both were in the last 2 months. So he can hit that mark for sure. Minnesota has a lot to play for. They want to probably get him this record, but those two things can work together, right? And they're just, this is a great situation. I mean, Chicago has allowed the highest yards per catch and the highest yards per target to wide receivers this season. They are very shorthanded at corner. In fact, if Jalen Jones plays, the rookie, if he is healthy, he may not play in this game because he left last week injured. But if he plays with Kyler Gordon and Josh Blackwell, you know what those three have in common? They're all rookies.
They're all rookies.
Two of them were undrafted.
Okay.
It is not a great situation for Chicago. If Jones is out, it'll be Harrison Hand, who's just like a veteran journeyman, used to be with Minnesota and the end of their depth chart. It is just not a good situation. By the way, Jefferson, when these teams played in week 5, 12 catches, 154 yards, and on 13 targets. So he crushed them even when they had healthier guys in there. I think Jalen Johnson actually played in that game. So anyway, Jefferson, more than happy to play him at this price point. Minnesota is motivated to win this game. And again, sometimes guys chase records at this point. So even if they're ahead, they may keep throwing it to them. And Chicago is just not, they're not even playing Justin Fields, right?
Yeah.
They're packing it in. This is an opportunity for him to hit this mark. And if he does, if he's even close, it's going to be a huge fantasy week.
And I just want to say this, as a Lions fan that loves Calvin Johnson and the fact that I have a Lion that's able to hold that record, mm-hmm. if Justin Jefferson breaks this record in an 18-game season, it's still him breaking the record, period, end of story. I do not prescribe to the idea of like, oh no, he had an extra game. Every record that I right now hold is because the NFL has adapted and changed over the years through everything. So like, the idea that we can't say Justin Jefferson doesn't have it because he has an extra game or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, just as a Lions fan, I just want to say that. That's malarkey. That's baloney. This kid is incredible. Like, if he gets it, he deserves it.
Yeah, people say that all the time, too. And I've been tweeting, like, every week how close he is, and I get all the feet. It doesn't count because it's an extra game. No one's going to care about that in a few months. Whenever they show the leaderboard of all time, Jefferson will be first. How many times do you see, like, oh, well, yeah, Calvin Johnson's first, but back in the day when it was only an 8-game season, this guy was first. No one cares about that, so just stop whining
about it. The NFL has adapted every step of the way. Our records have adapted with it, everything that we talk about. So, like, Justin Jefferson, good for you if you get this record. I hope that he comes close but doesn't get it because I want Calvin Johnson to still be the guy. But if you do, it's totally
soon anyway. So
that's right.
It's inevitable.
That's right. All right. Al, speaking of really good wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb has been doing some pretty good stuff as of late. Do you like him this week against the Washington Commanders?
I do. Do you remember Miles Austin?
I do, yes.
What would he have cost in daily fantasy? He's like, CeeDee Lamb's the first Cowboy with 10 or more receptions in consecutive games since Miles Austin the first 2 weeks of 2010. He also has 19 slot catches over the last 3 weeks, and that's important this week in particular. I'm going to tell you why. He had 17 in the 6 games prior to that. So they've really utilized him more out of the slot to get him more involved in the offense. And it is certainly showing a 100-yard bonus in 3 straight games, 28 catches on 32 targets over that run. Washington is bottom 10 against slot receivers in yards per attempt, yards per completion, yards after the catch, and interception rate. So
that's
like
four things.
Why not keep doing the thing that's been working a whole lot against a team that is incapable of stopping the thing that you've been doing so successfully for the last 3 weeks?
Absolutely. I'm totally with you there. CeeDee Lamb, $8,200. Cowboys have a lot to be able to play for. Obviously, we always talk about Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, but CeeDee Lamb has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. He has been the legit true wide receiver one, like you're talking about, Al. I like him as well here this week, $8,200. A couple of other wide receivers that we also like. Ja'Marr Chase, $8,400, taking on Baltimore. Jahan Dotson, only $4,500, taking on Dallas. Reminder, he's got Sam Howell under center, but still a really great price point. Tutu Atwell, $3,400 against Seattle. Corey Davis, $3,500 against Miami. Garrett Wilson, $5,800 against Miami. Garrett Wilson had 10 targets last week, Mike. Still continues to get a ton. Hollywood Brown, $5,300 against San Francisco. No DeAndre Hopkins, correct, so it's just going to be him and Greg Dortch. Rashid Shaheed, $4,200 against Carolina. Tell me about Rashid Shaheed, because I think he's a guy that has kind of gone under the radar the last couple of weeks.
He's tough. The target shares have been really good. He's had made some big plays for them. Looks like a fine, probably more of a depth receiver, but he's going to play a big role opposite Chris Olave, who is not, doesn't seem to be at 100%. It could hurt a little bit that Olave is back and his role could expand a little bit, might knock Shaheed down a little bit, but he's fine as a punt. His price point's so low.
All right, last one we had was Amari Cooper, $6,000, had a three-catch, 100-yard performance last week, so thinking about him as well. All right, let's move ahead to tight ends, where you're going with potentially Cade Otton. Let's talk about again, even as we are taping this show and we are getting news and reports of what's coming in, it's like trying to figure out how often and how much are these guys going to play this week. And Cade Otton with the Buccaneers is another one of those examples.
Yeah, I think my lineup is going to change a little bit as we learn more and more. And again, we might have to make late swaps. You know, after the 1 o'clock game start to wind down, we're going to get an idea of which teams are motivated. An example of that would be a team we haven't talked about yet, which would be the Chargers, right? Playing in the 4 o'clock window. If the Bengals win that game, the Chargers are going to rest some players. If the Ravens win, then the Chargers have to win to jump up a spot. So you're going to have to keep it on your lineup throughout the day, Sunday. You know, you're going to have to check even before the fours if you're relying on players from some of those teams. And Cade Otton is one of them guys that I think we'll have an idea before the game what they're planning. So we're going to keep an eye on this. I think I'll probably end up not using him. And the reason is, again, think about this. Falcons and Bucks, you're probably thinking, which team would be favored in that game?
Probably the Bucks.
If it's the middle of the season, of course, right? Well, they're 4.5-point underdogs. Why? Because the books expect them to rest players in this game. So we have to expect that as well. And Cade Otton, he's a rookie. They might want to get him more reps, but he's been playing like every down. Cameron Brate was a healthy scratch last week. They might want to get him some rest because he's a key player for their playoff run. So I'll say this, you know, if we get a report that he's going to go all out and play in this game, he's only $3,000. He's very underpriced. As mentioned, Brate was a healthy scratch last week. We saw Trey McBride have a huge game against this Atlanta defense. Tom Brady is going to break the single season passing attempt record this week. He's only a handful away. I haven't really heard any mention of that at all, but he's going to blow by that record. Was actually second last year all time to Matthew Stafford. So you might lose two Lions records this week. It's possible.
I don't think a pass attempt record is a good thing, though. That's not a...
Not necessarily. I mean, it is for the Bucks because they just throw so much. It's part of their dynamic, whereas the Lions were just...
Both of those teams, though, I think had not great records. Like I mean, the Bucks should have, ideally, you would think that this Bucks record team has unbelievably underachieved, I feel like, based on where
they were like 500. Detroit was probably 3-13. A little
less. Well, now, Kyle looked that up. Where was Matthew Stafford and the Lions when that happened?
Yeah, when he hit the 700, whatever it was, pass attempts. So, but anyway, we'll keep an eye on this. I mean, Otton is a possible punt at just $3,000, but I would probably avoid the Bucks offense.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Al, let's talk with you then. Mm-hmm. Albert Okwuegbunam is only $2,900, and we saw Greg Dulcich out for the rest of the season. So now Albert steps into that role with Russell Wilson, just in case you were thinking about doing a sack. Again, only $2,900 at the tight end position.
So sometimes when you fire a head coach, other players who have been in the doghouse all season suddenly get to run around and play out in the field. And that was what happened to Albert O last week. He ran the most routes that he has run in like 3 months. He ran 25 routes, got 6 targets for 3 catches and a touchdown. He had not earned more than 2 targets since the season opener at Seattle. So glad to see him back on the field. First of all, the Chargers allowed the second most yards per tight end reception this year. Albert O is extremely athletic and can take advantage of that. If the Chargers end up resting players, I'm going to change the way that we do things in the lineup. Before Mike just mentioned late swap, we're going to walk you through how to kind of actively do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. A couple of other tight ends that we like. TJ Hockenson, $5,700. David Njoku at $3,900. And Logan Thomas, $3,000. taking on Dallas. All right. We're at that time of the show. Like I said, you were up 12-5 on me head to head. You've been doing really well this year.
Yeah, Mike, by the way, Clay. Lions were 4-12 that season, not 3-13. So apologies. Thanks to Kyle.
Thank you. Yeah. How dare you short me?
So I'm sorry about
a
that.
A whole win.
I didn't want to disrespect you. Make sure that's on
that's
the
like 25% of my team's wins. That's a huge amount. All right, Mike Clay, give us your weekly head to head lineup here for week 18 with the massive understanding, as we say this, it will likely change by the time that we actually play these games.
Exactly. So Kirk Cousins is at quarterback. Not sure that one will change, but we'll see. Christian McCaffrey and Miles Sanders. Again, the Eagles have to win. The Giants are going to be resting players. He's in a good spot there, so like him. Going with Cam Akers as well in the flex. So I'm going with three running backs here. Wide receivers, Justin Jefferson. And then I'm going to save some money with Jahan Dotson. And Laquan Treadwell is a punt for now. You know, he's kind of just filling in the slot there. So he's going to hold down the fort for me there. But we have some other punt options, so we'll keep an eye on that. He's playing a lot, of course, because Tyler Lockett's a little beat up. And if he doesn't play, then Treadwell will probably stay in my lineup. Kate Otten, again, we're keeping an eye on that Buccaneers situation. And then the Ravens, I'm punting against the Cincinnati Bengals, which, I'm going to try to get off of that just because the Ravens defense is good, but the Bengals are going to be going all out.
Having both CMC and Justin Jefferson, you've got to find some spots to be able to find some values. But I think as we get a little closer, like we have talked about, you're going to be able to find them. And this is already a really good foundation for a lineup.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, what do you got?
Here's mine for week 18. My quarterback is going to be Joe Burrow. I have made some updates. This is not accurate. So let's not worry about the graphic because that graphic is not right. So Joe Burrow is my quarterback. Najee Harris at $6,100 is my running back. Tyler Algier at $5,600 is my second running back. My wide receivers, I'm running with DK Metcalf at $6,700, DJ Moore at $6,100, and Garrett Wilson at $5,800. Okay. I've got Shaheed at $4,200 in my flex with Dawson Knox at $4,200 right now at the tight end position. And I'm paying up $4,000 for the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Giants at defense, in part because the Giants are basically not going to start anybody this
Rod
week.
Rod Taylor on the other side.
So we'll see how that works. But my lineup is also likely going to change a bunch as we get towards actual lineup locks. And Al, from a tournament perspective, with the way that you're doing your lineups, what are you looking at here in week 18?
So I went with the frisky Russ Wilson double stack in this one, which I'm going to probably have to pivot off of because I was looking for ways to get onto Austin Eckler to differentiate off of Christian McCaffrey for a very similar price point to stay at that point to be different. So I went with the Wilson, Judy, Albert O, Eckler primary double stack and bring back Harris and Moss at running back, which should be pretty sticky from now until the weekend. Week 18 is very much a moving target, as we've been talking about the entire show long. I have CD Lamb in this lineup to try and get off of the Justin Jefferson chalk. KJ Osborne as a one-off who has come on recently, and the Patriots defense at $2,200 against Buffalo. So if Eckler is not going to play in this one, this game does kick off at 125. You can utilize late swap on DraftKings, just like on ESPN Fantasy. If a player's game has not started, you can remove them from the lineup. So this gives me a lot of flexibility because availability is your best ability in week 18 when it comes to fantasy players. So moving off of a Russ Wilson stack to a Dak double using CeeDee Lamb, possibly Schultz, and bringing that back with somebody like Jahan Dotson at $4,500, who we mentioned on this show as a value, is also a very viable play. And if you have to get cheaper, coming off of KJ Osborne to one of the 3,500 and less wide receivers, Laquan Treadwell, I'm sure that like five others are going to open up by the time the weekend gets here, will be definitely playable. You want guys who are on the field, playing 90% of snaps, running 90%+ of the routes on dropbacks from the quarterback. Very viable to go get in week 18. It's a very exciting week and probably the most exciting week leading up to kickoff since week one.
So that was really good analysis, but you said one thing that's wrong. I'm probably confused. Excuse me for a half a second.
I looked right at you.
Yeah. You said 125.
What's a 125 start?
What is that?
That's correct. See, there's only one legitimate time zone, and it's the West Coast. I know you're wearing JJ shirts as East Coast dads and all, but like, y'all got to stay up until midnight to watch.
That's brutal.
Monday night, Thursday night, and Sunday night football. I get to like watch Ted Lasso after Thursday night football. And that's in season.
Wow. Yeah, that must be nice. But yeah,
you got to wait till the next day.
425 Eastern is what folks need to know. That's why it's a late swap. We're not late swapping at 125.
I was like, wait, 25 is a really weird late swap. Wait swap.
Yeah, right after
that's
lunch.
Crazy. Yeah, right.
So, I don't understand. How do you have so much gray hair if you get to go to bed at 7 o'clock every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, Al? You look so good. You got no stress in your life.
Well, I mean, Mike can attest to this. I have two children.
Oh, okay. That's
they
right.
Are
children
about to be
are
11
just...
and 13. Mike's okay. are a little younger than mine. Mike's going to get some gray hairs too along the way. Yeah. When my oldest son was 0 and 1 years old, I had no gray hair.
No, you. I remember yep, looking
Mike's
at those pictures.
Yeah, it's coming. Yep.
That's so good. All right. That's going to do it for week 18, but not it for the entirety of the CSS DFS podcast. Like we said, we're going to be back all throughout the playoffs. So thank you for hanging out with us. Follow him at Mike Clay NFL. Follow Al at Al Zeidenfeld. Check out everything he does at smizzle.tv/links. I am at Daniel Dopp. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. Please be kind to yourself. You have earned that. We can't wait to see you next week. We'll see you next Thursday.
Secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.